do pray, kind of a great privilege to be in service for y'all. We do need your prayers. I got some scripture you'll find in the 96th Psalm and the 98th Psalm. But there's a song, I'm not going to sing it, but you might think I'm off my rockers, but it's usually sung around Christmas, but joy to the world.
Amen.
That's all that's on my heart is joy to the world. And I probably am off my rockers, but be honest with you, that's all that's on my heart. I know there's a lot of times Christmas is done past, Easter's done past, but the songs, the Lord is the Lord all the time. He changes not. I may not get to the scripture. He's the same today, yesterday, tomorrow. He never changes. A lot of people says, what about our children? What about our babies? But I want you to know, they kept on telling me, when we would move down south, I let mama be happy. I always said, what about God being happy? What about God being first in your life? I didn't try to bring my family in the matter, but I tell you why, he's still on the throne. I told him, the devil popped on my shoulder and said, you ain't going. I tell him you ain't going, but I said, you give me a job, I'll be happy. What I miss most of all is coming to church. Brother Harold, I went to 30 churches. They don't worship like we do. They ain't the same God. I want you to know, people can put on a smiling face and I tell you that they know the Lord, but down deep in their heart, you better know the Lord, because he's coming back. And he coming back in the, on a white horse and high old silver. He's coming back, and he's coming back, and he's coming back, and all the dead in Christ is going to rise first, and then we are going to meet him in the air. I know the rich man fires sumptuously every day, and the beggar laid at his gate daily, full of sores, and all the comfort he got was when a dog licked his sores. But for the process of time, the rich man died and was lifted his eyes in hell. But the beggar was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and when he was in hell, he said, Father Abraham, would you send Lazarus? It says in the scripture, I hadn't forgot about Lazarus and the rich man, but the scripture says, weeping shall endure until the night, but there's going to be joy coming in the morning. Do you have joy? Do you know the Lord? Is the Lord in your life? I'm very present. I love sports and I love all kinds of things, but I want you to know it's important to have the Lord in your life. Father Abraham said, son, in thy lifetime you got comfort and he got torment. Now you're getting torment and he's getting comfort. Besides all this, there's a gulf between you and me. We can't come to you. I don't know where heaven is. Brother J.L. Jarrett said, some say it's up and some say it's down. Hell's in down and heaven's up. But he studied about it and he said, outside the gates of heaven, that's hell. Outside, there's only two places. There's only two choices. They kept on saying, when we got married, you got whole milk. What about 2%? I love some bean bread. But what about the natural, whole natural bread? You say, preacher, he didn't come to split hairs. I come to tell you, do you know the Lord is your personal Savior? Is he first in your life? A joy to the world is to let God be first and others second, and then you last. But I want you to know, do you have joy in your life? Do you wake up and it's a hassle to come to church. It's a hassle to go to work. It's a hassle. To go to school. But I tell you what, it wasn't too much of a hassle. These two things we didn't miss. We didn't miss church. And we didn't miss school. We could have been sick. We could have been going to the hospital. And them two things, back in the 70s, we stayed on the ball field. But when we got, I told them many times when I stood up, we got in church when Fred Coker was our pastor. Daddy said we got in church when Harold Owens, we went a few times when Fred was our pastor. But I want you to know how we was the first ones there and the last ones to leave. Many times we had to ask our parents, do we have to lock up? Me and my brother ran up and down them steps to the Sunday school. But I tell you what, we sung in a choir. We went to vacation Bible schools. We went to every revival. I want you to know, ball games, chorus, it didn't matter. It came second hand to us because we was knowing that we was going to go to church. We woke up to the gospel jubilee with the cathedrals the inspiration and the kingdom was singing praises to the Lord. Do you have joy in your life? I know there's a lot of people, I think I'm crazy, and I probably am. But I tell you what, there's a difference of knowing the Lord and just saying that you do know Him. I want you to know, there's a difference of putting a smiley face on. I tell you what, I could have been the home run king. I tell people all the time, I was the best bench warmer that any sports could have. But the reality is, we didn't like church. We didn't like school. And I tell you what, when I got to liking it, I couldn't get enough of it. And that's the problem. I want to go to church. I tell you what, all these preachers right here could just preach to me. I want it because that's the fuel that we have to have to get us the days and the weeks and the months and the years that we need Jesus. And that's what we need. I worked at the city for 26 years. Before I worked at the city, I worked at a carpet mill for 7 months. I worked at a meat packing place for 9 years. I got to the city. I mowed grass and cleaned floors. We had basins. And the operator said, I love working outside, but you never would see them outside. I have a problem with somebody saying that we love the church. I never see them there. I tell them that tell you that you got saved. I never see them again. I tell you what, I ain't sweating hands, but you need to know the Lord. It's not these clothes. When I graduated, I only had one suit. I've had 20. I can see, I think I got 4 or 5 now. I gained a little weight. But I tell you what, my granddaddy was a preacher. I don't know my other mom and daddy. Her dad died when she was 4. Her mother died when she was 19. Never met them. But I tell you what, Papa never said anything to him. He didn't say a whole lot. He did say stuff. Chewed tobacco. Farmed. Ran service stations. I pumped gas in gaskets when I was in fifth grade. Then he got paper out. I knew the Lord was dealing with me. On the last turn, he was chewing tobacco and said, "Jeff, don't you want to be saved?" I said, "Papa, I won't be saved." He said, "You go. You go one night and I'll be there." Sure enough, Harold Owens was preaching, and I saw Avenue. Sure enough, I went to the altar, and my papa was there. But that night, I just cried. I didn't know what to do. I just cried for 2 or 3 days. I was happy. I had joy. But that turned into what? I didn't realize I was lost. You know, I'm pretty ignorant sometimes. I told the Lord, I said, "Well, I don't know how to be saved." Every preacher, it didn't matter if it was home preachers, visiting preachers, revival, they kept on telling me how to be saved. I didn't have no excuse. I didn't have no avenue. I couldn't get away from it. It wasn't because my dad was trying to learn me how to do fractions. It wasn't Randy. After Harold gave us up Randy, it looked like he was looking right through me. But it wasn't Randy that I was afraid of. It was the Lord. Do you have joy? I want you to know, do you have joy? You know, through the joy that was set before him, he endured the tradition. I'm just going to read it. I know I didn't say it right. We'll get to the scripture. This is in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, second verse. It says, "Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." You know, he had joy. They didn't take him. He didn't spill his blood. But he given it willingly. He knew that none of us could live it. None of us could buy it. None of us could say for we couldn't do it. Adam and Eve sinned. And by them sinning, we all become sinners. And none of us could keep the law. The only one that could keep it was Jesus Christ. We could keep part of it, but we couldn't keep the whole. In the day that we're living in, but when Jesus came, he did away with the law. Well, he didn't do away with it, he fulfilled it. What happened to rich man and Lazarus? When he didn't get the water, he said, "Would you send him back for my 5 brothers? They wouldn't come to this awful place." It's no big eyes or little U's. It's not the number that God is looking at. Maybe if you went to the bank, you was a number. Maybe if you was at your work, you'd be a number. But God, you're a person. He knows your name. He knows more about you than you know yourself. You don't have nothing hid. A preacher friend of mine, after I got saved, I said, "Well, I didn't do too much wrong." The problem with me is we was raised up in church. We couldn't get away from it. First one there, last one to leave. But I tell you what, once I got in and once I got saved, I loved it. I still love it. All these preachers could just preach to me. I would love it, love it, love it, even if I'm at fault. You know why? Because then another one coming. Jesus came for all. They ain't going to be no bullocks. They ain't no bull goats or goats. I tell you what, you going to be on the right hand side or you're going to be on the left. They ain't no straddling the fence. You're on the right hand side or the left. You're with us or you're not. You say, preacher, I can't stand you. You're loud and boisterous. You act fanatic. I want you to know you get in the Lord. He was greater than Jacob. He was greater than Abraham, Isaac. He was greater than anyone. He wasn't some kind of prophet, some kind of good person. He was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He'll be the best friend that you ever had. I want you to know, if they would have known who they was crucifying, they wouldn't have crucified him. But it took it. A centurion looked after the earthquake and the darkness and all this and looked up. There was many crucifixions, but he said, after Jesus got crucified in the earthquake and the darkness, and he said, surely this was the Son of God. They were living in. That's what it is. Mary Teresa might have did good. Billy Graham did all them crusades. Charles Stanley. Mary was a chosen one. But the key factor in all them is they had to get Jesus. They had to get saved. It's not the color of your skin. It's not the statues. It's if you know the Lord. I didn't do a whole lot, but I did enough to bust hell wide open. A lot of people don't like hearing that, but what J.L. Jarrett was saying, outside of heaven is the lake of fire. And death and hell is going to be transferred into the lake of fire. When he didn't get the water, he said, you send Lazarus back that he might warn my five brothers. Or Abraham said, he's got Moses and the prophets. They don't listen to him. We had it in our Sunday school. The volume, first and second volume of the book. You know what they say about Revelations? It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. It's all about Him. It's nothing about me. It is never nothing about me. Work all your years. I said 7 months, 9 years, and then 26. I'm on my fifth or sixth year at the school. It's not all about that. I could care less if I was rich right now. What the key is, when you don't have the riches, and know that you're already rich, that's what makes you rich. What it is when I went down to the altar and poured my heart out, that's when I got in the kingdom of God. It made me more rich. They sang that song that there's a rich man going to die. It was his servant. It wasn't a rich man that was dying that they all came and saw. It was his servant. His servant knew the Lord. It's no big I or little you. You got to know Jesus. We're not trying to pour it down you. I tell you what, they used to say shorten the bed, narrow the covers. They wanted you to get in trouble. They wanted you to realize I had to acknowledge that preacher that I did awful. I was an awful person and I was going down to a devil's hell without a hope in this world. The only hope I had was Jesus. Had an aunt when I turned 14. I was going to higher class. Before I got there, Jeanette Ellis, point blank, said, Jeff, don't you want to be saved? I left it off. That's all I could do. I didn't know what to say. I didn't have a response. I didn't know what to say. I didn't have no words to say to her. Had a cousin say, It's not a laughing matter. I know it wasn't. There's many times I went out the church house crying. Didn't want people to see. I didn't want people to know. I didn't want people to tell. I wasn't as pretty as my sister. I wasn't as finished as my brother. But I want you to know, two left feet, hard-headed and stubborn, God still wanted me, and He wants you. You know, it's 2:22 in the church, in the songs of faith, the vilest of the vilest sinner. I didn't murder nobody. I used to stand up here until I got the Lord. I slapped my first grade teacher. She cried. The students in that class, she got in my face. The student said, "Do it again." I wasn't going to do it again. She was crying until she talked to my parents. My parents couldn't understand. Jeff is so quiet. Where my sister and brother, my sister's 2 years older, my brother's 1 year younger. They talked. I didn't say a whole lot. I'm more afraid of my parents than I was the teachers. When I got to school, I just opened up. There was a new avenue. I wanted to, any way I could do, be mischief and all. They said, take him to the principal or take him out in the hall. There's many times I went out in the hall. I was one way or the other. I liked you or I didn't like you. There wasn't no middle ground with me. Whether I liked you, second grade, there was a grandmother that was my teacher. I fell in love with her. Third grade, I loved my teacher, but she lived in North. Then she had to go because we had some snow. This is Calhoun. This is Calhoun. For the first fifth grade, I was in Calhoun's school, Redbud. Then we got a teacher. After the one in third grade left and went back to the North, had another teacher. And all the girls said, well, the boys like the other teacher. Now, we went back and forth, me and the teacher. I did the work, but I wasn't in. It was in my desk. I was afraid of her. I just didn't know how to act. But I tell you what, I had four friends. Two of them was bullies. One of them was a protector, and the other one would run. I dealt with the bullies, and the protector helped me sometimes, and then sometimes I just run. Fourth grade came around. I was in love with my teacher. I didn't want to count my fingers and toes, so I learned arithmetic. I just memorized the arithmetic, multiplications, learned cursive and all this. But I tell you what, fifth grade came around, Miss Sexton's, and I tell you what, I was a whiz at math. She saw that I was helping the protector. The teacher's aide told the teacher, me and the teacher's aide got 100. I had to take the test. It wasn't the same test, but I had to take it over. Made 100 the second time. Well, one of the bullies was trying to keep me from catching the bus. Normally I don't fight back, but that day I fought back. And Miss Sexton was right there. She said, Jeff, is anything wrong? I said, there ain't nothing wrong. Got on the bus. During that time, I was probably in the fourth or fifth grade. On the school bus, there's an older boy and a younger boy. The younger boy was probably in the first or second grade. And the older one said, he's going to hit you every day, no matter where you sit on the bus. And if you hit him back, I'm going to hit you. Well, I had a cousin that was as old as the older one. He didn't step in. So it happened all year. One day I was having a rough day, and I said, if he hits me, I'm going to hit him back, whether that big boy hits me or not. And sure enough, I did, and that young boy cried. The bigger kid didn't do nothing. Just the Lord looking out for me. Do you have joy? I know I said a lot of things, but do you have joy in your life? Jesus can be first in your life, and that's what he wants to be. And when you put others second and then yourself last, you can have joy. I'm going to read that scripture that I was going to read. Then I'm going to get the song to come around. And the 96th Psalms. If I can find it right quick. It says, the 10th verse, or 11th verse, it says, let the heaven rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the seas roar and the fullness thereof. Let the fields be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the woods rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people will and the people with his truth. And then the 98th Psalms says, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His righteousness, his right hand, and his holy arms have gotten him the victory. The Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness has he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He has remembered his mercy and his truth towards the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praises. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and with the harp and the voice of a psalm. With trumpets and sounds of cornets, make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth with righteousness. Shall he judge the world and the people with the Lord, he's an almighty God. He changes not. He's the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow. He just sent us to tell the word. We can't save you. You know, one time Jesus healed people and saved people, and even give some of the apostles and disciples able to heal. One time, he said, we know Jesus and we know Paul, but who are you? And the day that we're living in, there's no big eyes or little U's. The question is, do you have joy? You know, it ain't just around Christmas. I know people are more friendly. I know there's more happy and all, but you know, it could be storming outside, it could be a foot of snow and all this, and sleet and snow, and probably wouldn't have church, but nevertheless, whether we have church in this building or not, you got to have God in your life, at your job, at your schools, at your home. No matter if you go to Walmart, you go to Kroger. I want you to know, Brother Carlton Rogers said about a male person. What about a troop manager and all this that runs the troop? My sister was in Girl Scouts. We was in Boy Scouts. We played T-ball. We did all kinds of stuff. What about Jesus in your life? What about Your male person, people that fill your gas up, where you go pay your taxes, where you go pay your bills and all this. Wouldn't it be good if they knew the Lord? Wouldn't it be good if they had joy in their life? I don't understand. And I said I was going to bring my march to a close. I will on this. I don't know why some people have cancer and they don't get over it. But we all in the hands of the Lord. I don't know what's going to happen to me. I may not make it back to Jackson, Georgia. but I'm just going to let you know, if I don't make it back, or a few years, I went to revival at U Harley Baptist. My brother-in-law was running, preaching Friday night. Pastor said, "Well, I thought you was dead." Some member at Stoner said they hadn't seen me in a while. We said, "We thought you was dead." I ain't dead. I'm alive forevermore. Since spring revival, March the 22nd was a Sunday this year, but back in 1980, is on a Saturday night of a spring revival at Dry Creek Baptist Church. I went down to an old-fashioned altar. I went that first time and just cried, but later on I fulfilled it. I got saved, and I've been saved ever since. 3 years down the road, he called me to preach. I ain't nothing, never will be nothing. These clothes don't make me one bit of a Christian, don't make me one bit of a preacher. What makes me what I am is what God did in my life. This man will fail you. This man will make mistakes. This man will do everything it can to get away from the church and all this. But praise the Lord, I want to come, and I want to hear the gospel, and I want to hear singing. And when I got saved, not only did I want to get saved, but I wanted everybody to get saved. It's the same way. I want everybody. It don't matter who you are or what you are, God wants you. If He created you, you may not have all your fingers, you may not have all your toes. You may not be as smart or dumb as me, but God don't make no junk. He made you for a purpose in this lifetime. And what it is, Abraham was a father of many nations. David was a man after God's own heart. Mary was chosen the vessel of carrying the baby with the Holy Ghost, but all them had to be saved. And that's what you got to understand. It goes around. You know, the children of Israel wasn't the greatest. He still chose them. It's coming. You know, when Naaman got healed of his leprosy, he had to dip 7 times in the River Jordan or whatever river. He complained and said, "Ain't these other rivers better?" You know, a servant said, if he would have told you some great thing, would you not? He was the only one that got healed. When the rain, Elijah prayed that it didn't rain for 3.5 years. When the brook dried up, there was many widow women in that land, but he was sent the only one. The day we're living in, the 99 he left in the fold to get that one lost sheep. I want you to know you're that one lost sheep. You might not have the color of hair. You may not have the beauty of the face and all this, but God still wanted you. Them sheep over there. Now, I'll be honest with you. I work at a school. I see. I was terrible. I went to many principals. I went many halls. But after I got saved, I went the other way. I quit doing. I tried to go the good of me. Now, I live with two women. And I tell you what, they try to keep me straight with the Lord. And they having a hard time. But I tell you what, through the grace of God, it ain't the undertaker. It's how you're living. You can ask any undertaker, Why don't he have a smile? Every undertaker says we do not put the smile on people. It is inside of you. It's inside of you. It's not the braiding of the hair. It's not the ornaments. It's the adorning of the inside. It's not the Jew on the outside, but it's the Jew on the inside. You know the Lord or you don't know him. There was many strangers that came with the children of Israel. There was one, I think it's a Hittites, or one of them said, we want to go with you because your judgment is in Joshua. We won't go with you because we won't be with you. We could be the loudest person in this world, but God knows if you're mourning or not person. He knows if you're quiet or loud. He knows all about you, and he still won't you. And the key to that is, and then I am sure enough going to bring it to a close, you're going to have eternity to regret that you didn't get the Lord in your life. You didn't say all that you want. If somebody's afflicting me and getting on to me, my parents, my grandparents, the Lord, and you could say, well, I would did it this way, I would, you'll have a chance. God knows what your thoughts is. He knows if you really want to be here or not. He knows if you got joy. He knows what is going on in your life, and there ain't nothing hid. Brother Randy said it. He never did anything in a corner. He's never going to do any corner. Jesus came to bring life and bring it more abundantly. The devil come to steal, kill, and destroy. But when Jesus was on the cross and being crucified, the devil knew it. He knew that the stone wasn't going to hold him. The soldiers wasn't going to hold him. He was going to come out of that grave. Even though they crucified him, they came in sword and spear, but they didn't take him. They didn't take him. Jimmy Temple's, they ain't nothing going to hold this body down. If I die before the Lord comes back, this man ain't coming. It's going to go back to the dust. That soul's going to live on in the lake of fire or in heaven. You got a choice. You won't be carried by the angels, or you won't lift your eyes. What about grandma and grandpa? I have all four of mine in the grave, or they ain't in the grave. If all four of them been saved, they're up in the paradise heaven. But their body was buried. Soon enough, I'll meet them. But you know what? I don't know about the walls of jasper, streets of gold, or anything like that. What's good about it is we're going to meet Jesus. What good about it is we're not going to have to say goodbye. What good of it is we ain't going to have hospitals. We're not going to get sick. We ain't going to have to say goodbye. We ain't going to have to. Me and Randy and Earl used to drive this Gordy Road. I rode it today. Coming up here, I went up 225 to 136 and came up here to 411. And I'm here. Left the house at 8 o'clock. Got here a little after 10. But I'm here, and that's what it is. We used to call it the Glory Road. I'd get off from work, clean up, eat, and then go to Revival by every night. I miss them times. Not just Randy and Earl, but there were some others that I went with. That's the key to all this. Do you know the Lord? Is joy in your heart. This side can say 2 bits, 4 bits, 6 bits, a dollar, all for a dollar, for all for chats, for, the, can't even think of that group. I think it's the Hinstons, but they used to come by, a group of football fans. They used to come by rock and roll fans. They used to come by country music fans. But they'd sing at the end of that song, I'm a Jesus fan. You know, he's still on the throne. He's still on the throne making intercession for you and me. Even the people that he don't love. This old body, he didn't mean to last forever and ever. You cut this finger off, they ain't a replacement. You might could get a graft somewhere if you had something, plastic surgery or something, but they ain't a heart. They're not a brain. You know, my wife just had two major surgeries, had a kidney taken out. She had a tumor. Then later on, she had a hernia. She's still working, but, you know, she has to take it easy. And that's how it is. God didn't mean for us to stay here forever and ever. You know, his own people thought he had set up a kingdom. That wasn't his purpose. He told them in the scripture, if I set up my kingdom down here, my own people would fight over it. He set it up in the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. And that's where your joy should be. That's where your salvation should be. That's where Jesus should be. He said, I used to write it on the table of stone, but he's writing in the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. Not only you should know it, your children and your children and your children should know it. Everybody should know the Lord. I say this, and then I'm going to bring my marks close. He's not calling everybody a preacher, everybody a deacon. But I'm assured you, David said that I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in the tents of the devil. You get saved, and you be obedient to the Lord, he'll give you more work than you'll ever know. You'll ever be able to accomplish. But he ain't going to give you anything that you can't do. He knows what you're capable of doing. And that's how he is. We're going to ask him to get a verse. Ask Brother Randy to come out here. I know it's scattered. And it didn't go the way I wanted it. But do you have joy? Do you have joy? The key to all that is, do you have Jesus as your personal Savior? You know, we can say all that we want, but if we put Jesus first, others second, and then us third, you'll have joy. Amen. They ain't going to be no question. You'll have joy. You say, preacher, well, I don't like my neighbor. I tell you, it might be a gray area. There ain't no gray area with God. It's black and white. It's opened up. And when he put that blood applied to me, he don't remember that sin anymore. The devil might bring it up, but he won't remember it anymore. And that's how it is. You got to understand, your neighbor might be the one that prays for you. Your neighbor might be the one that wins your children over to the Lord. You got to understand, Jesus proved and proved and proved in that song, Joy to the World. Prove the nations. He wants to prove who you are. Brother Randy said in the Romans, examine ourselves, that we'd be a vessel, not of dishonor, but a vessel of honor. You know, we could look at that number and say, well, wow, that's a good number. You know, a lot of people question about revivals, about, well, we didn't have a good one because a lot of people didn't get saved. If you moved up, if you got closer, if you rejoiced and had a good time in the revival, that's a revival for you. The pianist said, I didn't know if what I was thinking about, if it was just for me because I was in the valley. You know, God is a God on the mountaintop. He's a God in the valley. And he'll be the best friend that you'll ever have. Brother Randy, we're going to get you to get out, come out here. If you need to pray, you come. We're going to ask you to stand to your feet.